Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
It's such a small word. In fact, it's something that Mahatma Gandhi said only the strong can give. Well, we're talking about forgiveness. How do you forgive? Especially when maybe you have been the victim of something atrocious, some horrific injustice. How do you do it? Well, R.T. Kendall has written and spoken about this quite extensively. He was the pastor of the well-known church in London, Westminster Chapel. He's written a number of books on forgiveness, and the one we're talking about today is Total Forgiveness, and he joins us now. R.T., welcome to Open House. Great to have you.
Well, thank you, Sheridan. I'm thrilled to be with you.
It's such a big topic, isn't it, forgiveness? It really, it's got to be one of the big ones for anybody in life, no matter what their walk.
Well, totally forgiving another person that has hurt you is the hardest thing in the world anybody ever has to do.
Why is it so difficult for us?
Well, it's our pride. You see, our anger gets us in trouble, and then pride keeps us in trouble. We cannot bear the thought that another person can be let off the hook and they not get punishment. And so there's something instinctively in us. We want to defend ourselves, and we want that person hurt who has damaged us, who's hurt us. And it's a natural reaction. Like it or not, that's just the way human beings are. We want vengeance by nature.
I was just mentioning before that quote from Gandhi. He said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." Do you think it is a sign of strength?
I think it is. It takes an awful lot of courage to do. That's when you kiss vindication goodbye. And we don't like to do that. God says, "Let me do the vindicating." And we say, "Well, Lord, fine, but why do you take so long?" And that's our problem.
And this is such a tricky issue. I remember a number of years sitting in a seminar, and the seminar was all about women who had been the victims of rape. And one of the professionals who was running the seminar afterwards, when they found out that I was a Christian, raised a very interesting conundrum to me. They said, "Well, look, let's look at it this way. A woman goes through a barbaric experience like rape that leaves her physically and emotionally crippled. And then one of you folks comes along and tells her that she must forgive the man whether he is sorry or not. Now, she's already been crippled from the first thing. If she can't find it in her heart now to forgive, she now carries a second burden. That doesn't seem fair." What's your response?
I understand that, and it doesn't seem fair. And yet it's right, because we are hurting ourselves when we carry this heavy burden. You don't realize what peace you are forfeiting if you carry that grudge, however justified you may feel.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Sheridan. In Britain and America, there are now non-Christian organizations raised up to help people to forgive. They're not using the Bible. They're not using the teachings of Jesus. Why do they do it? Science has pointed this out. Medical people have said it for years, that holding a grudge is injurious to your health. It leads to arthritis. It leads to kidney disease, heart disease. They have found out that the benefit of forgiveness is not to the one who gets forgiven, but the one who does the forgiving, that it sets a person free. And so that's just at the natural level.
Like I said before, you've been a pastor of London's Westminster Chapel for 25 years. You've now got an extensive ministry that spans the globe. You've sat with many people over the years who really have had horrific injustice done to them. What has been the most difficult case of forgiveness that you've seen?
Well, perhaps I should say, Sheridan, that this book was born in what was at the time the darkest hour that my wife Louise and I had ever gone through. And it was while I was at Westminster Chapel, and I was angry, I was bitter. An old friend from Romania, his name is Joseph Zon, happened to be in London, and because I knew he wouldn't tell anybody, I decided to tell Joseph what happened and what they did. Now, if I'm honest with you, I did it because I thought Joseph would put his arm around me and say, "R.T., you ought to be angry. Get it out of your system." That's what I wanted to hear. He just looked at me and said, "Is there anything more?" I said, "No, that's it." I was not prepared for what followed. If I could narrow 25 years in London down to 15 minutes, it would turn out to be my finest hour. It's when Joseph Zon looked at me and said, "R.T., you must totally forgive them." until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody had ever talked to me like that in my life. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I said, Joseph, I didn't tell you everything. Listen to this. And I started, he said, RT, you must totally forgive them. Set them free, and you will be released. I can tell you, Sheridan, it was the hardest thing I've ever, ever had to do. But it was the greatest thing I ever did.
I don't want to go on and delve into it too much, but can you give us a rough idea as to what kind of thing actually had happened to you?
Nope.
Yeah.
I cannot, and I'll tell you why I cannot. Because if you do ask me for proofs that you've totally forgiven, you'll see why I can't tell you.
Okay, all right.
But I've had to deal with people that have been raped. I've had to deal with people who've been raped by their parents. I've had horrendous stories. I would put it this way. The worse the hurt that you have to forgive, the greater victory you get when you do it.
Well, this is Open House. We are talking to R.T. Kendall. The topic is total forgiveness. Well, in the book, you talk about 7 ways that you can know that you have totally forgiven someone. How about we start exploring those 7 ways? What's the first one?
Well, I have to say it's a very high standard, and the very first one is exceedingly hard to do. But proof number one that you've totally forgiven those who've hurt you is that you tell nobody what they did to you. This is the hardest thing of all, because the first reaction we have when we're hurt is to go to somebody and tell what they did. Now, why do we do that? Well, we may say it's for therapeutic reasons, and there's a sense in which it is that, and that's why I told Joseph Zohn. But I knew Joseph wouldn't tell anybody. And I would say to anybody listening, you need to tell one other person. For therapeutic reasons, somebody who won't tell, yes, you do need to empty on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But the main reason we tend to tell people is we want to hurt those who've hurt us.
That's true.
And we cannot bear the thought that their reputation is intact, that people like them, people admire them, and especially if they should be high profile, oh, we want to bring them down a notch or two. And you might like to know where I get that. I based it on the life of Joseph, who forgave his brothers for what they had done to him. And when he now reveals his identity to them, and they are going to come to Egypt, he will not let anybody in Egypt know what those brothers had done to him. Why? Because he wants everybody in Egypt to love them. So he protects their reputation. You tell nobody what they did. But then I do accept 2 exceptions. The first is one person you can tell for therapeutic reason. The other example is, I had a woman come into the vestry at Westminster Chapel, and she said, Dr. Kendall, they have found my rapist. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, she said, they want me to testify against him in a court of law. I said, well, you must. Oh, she said, you have taught me to forgive, and I have forgiven him. And if I tell what he did, he will be sent back to a Middle Eastern country and be beheaded. So I don't want to do that. I've forgiven him. I said, look, you have to testify. He has been a danger to society. He still is. What you do in a court of law is not getting vengeance. You will answer the questions. She took my word and did testify against him. He was sent back. That's all we know. And I pointed out to her, it's not a personal grudge in this case. So the reason we tell people normally, Sheridan, is that we want to get them hurt or get them punished or take them down a notch. But proof number one, you don't tell anybody what they did.
Mm, okay, I was going to raise that with you because, of course, in some circumstances, if you were to hold to that without your qualifications, those people who have done the injustice could actually go and do that injustice to other people,
exactly.
Couldn't they? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so proof number two, then, that you've totally forgiven somebody.
You will not let them be afraid of you. You see, a weapon we use is to intimidate them and keep them in bondage, and we refuse to let them be free, and we do everything we can to make them afraid. We walk into a room, and they're sitting there, and they freeze, and we think, good, good, I love it. This is the thing that when a marriage breaks down, husband and wife, they want the other afraid, and they think this is a weapon that we can control with. You've got to let that go.
It's, again, and just a part of that paying the person back, isn't it?
Yeah, we love to keep them in fear. And by the way, this teaching will heal any marriage in 24 hours if they would operate under these principles.
All right, so the first sign, tell nobody about what they did to you, then with the qualifications you've given before. Number two?
You don't let them be afraid of you.
And number three?
You don't even let them feel guilty. Now, this is a hard one. We may say, I forgive you for what you've done, but I hope you feel guilty about it. Well, you see, you're still wanting them to suffer. Now, there's a verse in the Bible. It's 1 John 4:18. It says, perfect love casts out fear, and fear has to do with torment or has to do with punishment. Well, we want to punish them, and we want them to feel guilty. And chances are they don't feel guilty. As a matter of fact, most people that you ever have to forgive, they don't even think they've done anything wrong.
Mm.
And so the one who's really hurt in all this is the one who doesn't do the forgiving. And so what we want to do, we want to go up to them and make sure they know how hurt we are. But the truth is, we want to make sure they're hurt. Or, I've had it this way, people will say, well, what I do, I just go up to them and say, I forgive you for what you've done. I say, wait a minute, why would you do that? You're doing that because you're afraid they don't know how hurt you are. And the truth is, you're wanting them to see how hurt you are. That way, you're going to make them feel guilty.
That raises a really good...
You have to forgive them even if they're not sorry.
That raises a really good question as to how much you should talk about this particular offense with the person who has actually offended you. And when you actually go about doing that, I can remember a time when I was, I guess, offended by a colleague in a church over a period of time. And I kept on saying, look, just forgive them, just forgive them, just forgive them. And it kept on building up and building up and building up to the point where we really had to sit down and have a talk about it. And then it was all resolved. And I think I had a really warped understanding of what forgiveness was. When do you sit down and actually talk to somebody about it without trying to make them feel guilty?
Okay. 90% of the people we have to forgive don't think they've done anything. And so in 90% of the cases, it's counterproductive even to go there because they'll say, what's the problem? I haven't done anything. And you get nowhere. Those who know that they've done wrong, they're just as hard to reach because they don't want to admit it to you. They are angry themselves. And they say, but I did it for this reason, because you did this, and they will always justify themselves. There are few stories that can be told where talking it out does much good. Once in a while, yes, but generally speaking, it's counterproductive.
So, what about Jesus' words, though? If somebody's offended you, go and speak to them directly.
Okay. Yeah, well, I have a whole section on that in the book. First of all, there is a basic principle here that total forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. A lot of people think if you forgive, you've got to reconcile. It takes two to reconcile. And sometimes even reconciliation isn't desirable. If your spouse sleeps with your best friend, you forgive them, but you don't want to go on vacation with them. Mm-hmm. So total forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. In the case where there is an offense, you do your best, you take somebody with you, and there's a place for all that in the area of church discipline. But those are things that are, in a way, subsidiary to this issue, because reconciliation is a separate matter.
Okay. Well, this is Open House. We're talking to R.T. Kendall. He's the author of Total Forgiveness. It's a big, big topic. We're going to podcast this via theopenhouse.net.au. We're walking through the seven proofs that you've actually totally forgiven somebody. Number one, tell nobody what they did to you. Number two, you're not going to let them be afraid of you. Number three, don't let them even feel guilty. What's the fourth proof that we've totally forgiven somebody?
You let them save face. It's an Oriental expression. You protect their self-esteem. You protect their fragile ego. You cover for them. You don't even act like you know what they did. Now, they know you know, but you are so gracious about it. instead of saying, gotcha, you just look the other way. Dale Carnegie reckons you win a friend for life if you let him save face. In the case of Joseph, who forgave his brothers, you know what he said to them? He said, it wasn't you who sent me here, it was God. And they can't believe their luck, that the very person that they were going to kill and then sold to the Ishmaelites as a slave is now said to them, look, God was behind it all. That was Joseph's way of letting them save face.
Okay, so number four is let them save face. What's the fifth proof that we've totally forgiven?
You protect them from their darkest secret. You may know something about another person that, were it told, would destroy them. And if this should be the case of an enemy, you may say, oh, I've got the goods on this person. Any day now, I can destroy you. And we say to them, well, I might tell it, maybe I won't. And the person is scared to death that maybe one day you'll let the cat out of the bag, you'll spill the beans. Total forgiveness is when you assure that person nobody will ever know. That is the way Jesus is with us. He lets us save face. He doesn't want to bring out the skeleton in the cupboard. He's so gentle with us and protects us from our darkest secret. And you know, Sheridan, we've all got skeletons in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And God forgives us, and we have to do exactly the same thing with those who've hurt us.
All right, so let's go back a few. Number three is don't let them feel guilty. Number four, let them save face. Number five, protect them from their darkest secret. Number six?
Pray for them. When you pray for them, you don't just say, Lord, I commit them to you. That's a cop-out. When Jesus said pray for them, he meant bless them. You have to come to the place that you literally ask God to bless them, knowing full well that God has blessed you, and God has given you something you don't deserve, that's forgiveness. And so when you bless that person, you give your enemy, you give that scoundrel a gift he doesn't deserve. You're asking God to let him off the hook, to do for them what God has done for you. He's let you off the hook. He's forgiven you your sins by Jesus' death on the cross. Now, you let them off the hook by saying, God, you bless them. It's just like Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And, of course, you've got some people that are going to come forward, and you can prepare for this, so let me prepare you now, Sheridan. You're going to get emails where people say you don't have to forgive them until they repent first. Where did you get that? Well, I know where you get it. You get it in the Old Testament if you're under the law. If you're under the law, yes, it's tit for tat. But if Jesus is your model, then you say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many people were repenting at the cross? How many of them said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry what I've done to you. I just nailed in the nails. Oh, do forgive me. I am sorry. I repent. No, they laughed at him. They scoffed. They said, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Ha, he saved others. He can't save himself. Jesus' reaction, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
It takes minimal grace to forgive them when they're sorry. It takes a lot of grace to forgive them when they're not sorry or they don't know what they've done.
Yeah. What's number seven then?
Number seven, it's a life sentence. That means you've got to keep doing it. You don't do it just once. Here's the person who says, well, I did it. Wife says to the husband, I thought you forgave me. He says, well, that was yesterday. Not good enough. You have to keep doing it. It's not a one-off thing. I'm sorry to have to tell you. And I'll tell you what happened in my case. I forgave these people in my heart. I felt so good. I was free. And then 6 weeks later, I'd think, just a minute. They're getting away with this. Nobody will ever know what they did. And I'd get all upset in my heart, and I'd have to forgive them again, and then I'd get free again. I went back and forth, forgive or not forgive, have peace or be angry. And I came to a decision and a conclusion. The peace is better. I'd rather have the peace. I don't even think about anymore.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about the whole emotional aspect. If you start to feel angry again, if you start to feel hurt again, does that mean that you haven't actually forgiven? Or does it mean that you've just got to go through the process again?
That's it. You've got to go through it again. Because the old saying, to forgive is to forget. Well, I know what they mean by that. But the truth is, we can't forget. And by the way, it's total forgiveness is not denial. It's not denying what they did. It's not living in denial. It's knowing full well what they did, and you still forgive them. But you have to do it as long as you live.
Artie, I think we just need to clarify again, though, that when we talk about these kinds of offences and forgiving people and not letting anybody else know what they've done and everything, we're not talking about, say, a case of abuse or child abuse, just say when we have been abused as a child and we don't actually let anybody else know about it because those people could actually continue to go on and perpetrate it. We just need to clarify that again, don't we?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that. You do need to come clean and not live in denial. The point is, when you go to somebody, make sure you're doing it in a right spirit and not doing it to get vengeance, but because you want clarification and you need to deal with this psychologically, and you should take somebody with you. And I deal with that in the book too.
Okay. Well, it's been a fascinating chat. I've got one more question for you.
Sure.
Do we have the human ability to do this? Have we got it in ourselves to do it?
That is a very, very good question. There are degrees of forgiveness. I would say partial forgiveness can be done at a natural level. Total forgiveness can only be done by the help of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. And by total forgiveness, I mean these 7 points. I do not personally believe that a non-Christian can come up to these 7 standards totally. I don't think he can do it. You have to have the Holy Spirit to do that.
It's got to be
That's a very good question.
It's got to be a reflection of the forgiveness that we've already accepted through Jesus' death for us, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. It cannot be done at a natural level, not all 7 points. One or two of them, you can go for a while and think you've done it. But to maintain these 7 principles can only be done through the help of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Artie, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I do pray that there's been some release happen tonight as we've been talking about this issue.
I'm thrilled to be on your program. I love Australia. I've been 3 or 4 times, and I hope to come back soon.
Well, when you do, we hope we'll drop by the Open House again. Thanks for your time again tonight.
Pleasure.
Artie Kendall there, former pastor at London's Westminster Chapel and author of many, many books, including what we've been talking about tonight, Total Forgiveness and Totally Forgiving Ourselves, there through Charisma House Publishers.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.